Thank you, Carol. God bless you. Good evening, everybody. Let's take our Bibles and go to Ephesians chapter 6, please. I was reviewing some material earlier today, and it came to my attention of a camp that we conducted. I think it was back in the year 2003, which, amazing to me, is almost 20 years ago. But the theme for the camp was very simple. It was a verse of scripture taken from 1 Thessalonians 5, and the topic was pray without ceasing. Real simple three-word phrase, but when you start really considering its implementation, it becomes extremely significant and very challenging in one sense and very rewarding in the greater sense. But God would have us to pray all the time. He's given us two ways to pray: pray with our understanding and pray perfectly via the Spirit, which of course is speaking in tongues. But God would have us to pray to Him all the time, pray without ceasing. And when we incorporate that into our walk with Him, we start seeing wonderful things occur. There's some varied exhortations that talk about for whom we're to pray. We'll see one of them here in Ephesians 6 in a minute. But that we're to, pray always, and that we're to continue in prayer. And it just shows the constancy, the continual nature of prayer. I've made the statement that what breathing is to our physical life, prayer is to our spiritual life. In the book of Ephesians chapter 6, it says in verse 18, praying how often? There it is, always. With all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, that of course refers to speaking in tongues, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. So we're to pray when? Always. For whom are we to pray? For all saints. We're to pray in the Spirit. And when we do, we're to watch thereunto. Now, the watching thereunto, as we will see, is watching over that prayer until that prayer is answered. And then verse 19 says, and for me, pray. Apostle Paul soliciting prayer for him. Pray for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. So one other great thing that we're to pray for is for the outreach of God's word. Pray for people to open their mouth boldly, and that utterance may be given unto believers to make known the gospel, the mystery of the gospel. It's been stated that prayer is the hinge to the door of utterance. Prayer opens doors of utterance. So we're to pray always, and we're to watch thereunto. Look at Colossians chapter 4. A couple books over, Colossians chapter 4. It says in verse 2 of Colossians 4, continue in prayer. Once you start, continue. Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. Again, here, we're to watch in prayer. Watching in prayer is certainly with a view towards that prayer being answered. Verse 3, with all praying also for us, that God would open to us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds. And once again, prayer tied to the outreach of God's word. Look at Romans chapter 12, please. Romans chapter 12 has a short little encouragement, really in the category of a command. It says in verse 12, Romans chapter 12, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in what? Prayer. Continuing instant in prayer. Now, the two words in English, continuing instant, are translated from one Greek word, and that one Greek word means to be steadfast, to be persistent, or to be faithful to. So to be steadfast in prayer, to be persistent in prayer, to be faithful to prayer. So God would have us to continue faithfully, persistently, steadfastly in prayer until those prayers are answered. Look at Luke chapter 18, please. One of the great things that Jesus Christ taught his disciples on multiple occasions was about prayer life. He demonstrated his prayer life. He often overlooked the prayer life of Jesus Christ. Before he ordained the 12 apostles, he prayed all night. He organized his day to get up really early, well before dawn, so that he could pray. He was a man of prayer. And, so behind the outward actions and the outreach and the miracles and other things that Jesus Christ is so identified with, behind that, underlying it, was his prayer life to God. Here's an example of Jesus Christ teaching his disciples to pray. In verse 1 of Luke chapter 18, it says, "And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint." So it must be possible that when people pray, that sometimes they faint. And this isn't talking about, like keeling over, passing out, but it's talking about giving up on that prayer, not continuing in prayer. So Jesus Christ is speaking a parable, and it's to this specific teaching purpose, that men ought always to pray and not to faint, not to give up. Parables can be some of the trickier parts of the Word of God, because sometimes people can take all the little varied parts of the parable and give it some kind of spiritual meaning. This parable should be very clear to us, because right stated in verse 1 is what the purpose of the parable is. The purpose of the parable is that men ought always to pray and not to faint. And here's the parable, verse 2, saying, "There was in a city a judge who feared not God, neither regarded man." So he sounds like a real SOB, doesn't he? I mean, a judge that feared not God nor regarded man, didn't, give a crap. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him. She came unto this judge saying, "Avenge me of mine adversary." And he would not for a while. He wouldn't help her because he didn't regard people. He didn't care. He didn't fear God. So it said he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, "Though I fear not God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me." In other words, that she just kept coming over and over and over again. She didn't give up. She didn't faint in her request. And finally, this unjust judge said, "Okay, well, I'm going to answer her request because I just want her out of my hair." Great lesson there. The Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he hear, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, shall he find faith, or shall he find believing on the earth? You know, evidently back then and even today, believing is in short supply. You know, there's not many people that really practice this in their prayer life, to pray continually, to keep praying, even when the answer hasn't come. You know, how long do you watch unto? Well, the answer is until you get that prayer answered. Look at Luke chapter 11. You know, I mentioned to start the family camp of 2003. I believe it's on our website, muchword.com. But one of the great sharings, really, that I've ever heard, that I've been involved with, was part of that teaching series. And it was done by a fellow from Southern California, John Tatnall, on the life of George Mueller. And some of you are perhaps very familiar with George Mueller, but he was a man in the 19th century who dedicated his life to prayer, and specifically to demonstrate and prove to people that God hears and answers prayer. He kept a diary of his prayer life, and he documented over 50,000 answers to prayer. One of the things that he wrote in his diary is he said, I have seen thousands, tens of thousands of prayers that have been answered in the same day. And then I've also had prayers that took years for God to answer. He said, what's the difference between the two? He said, I don't know. But one of the things that he said is, I live in the spirit of prayer. Perhaps you've heard this great quote. I pray as I walk, when I lie down, and when I rise. And the answers are always coming. Tens of thousands of times have my prayers been answered. When once I'm persuaded that a thing is right, I go on praying for it. See, that's the key. Once I'm persuaded that a thing is right. And how do you get persuaded that a thing is right? By the Word. You know, you pray according to the Word. Once I'm persuaded that a thing is right, I go on praying for it. The great point is to never give up till the answer comes. The great fault of the children of God is they do not continue in prayer. They do not persevere. If they desire anything for God's glory, they should pray until they get it. What a great quote. You know, another thing that was documented, even after George Mueller died, was that he had some people that he was praying for their salvation, for them to get born again of God's Spirit. And at the time of his death, they had yet to get born again. But it was later documented that those people that he had been praying for received the Lord Jesus Christ even after George Mueller had died. What a great legacy he left us. What a great example of someone who continued in prayer steadfastly, persevered in prayer, and was faithful in prayer. Here in Luke chapter 11 is another great teaching that Jesus Christ gave about prayer. It says in verse 1, and it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. Now, that was the request of one of his disciples. Teach us to pray. And Jesus said unto him, when ye pray, say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Does this sound familiar? Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth. Give us this day, or day by day, our daily bread. And forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. You know, now Jesus Christ, at another time, taught this same prayer to his disciples. And before he did, he said, don't use vain repetitions like the heathen do. In other words, you don't just repeat a prayer over and over again. This is not a prayer to be repeated every Sunday at church or every time in your prayer life that you pray. Of course not. When you pray, you just talk to God. You just let your requests be made known. You know, it's fellowship. It's full sharing with your Father. But this is an example of things to pray for. We should pray for our physical necessities, like are described here as our daily bread. And we should pray for deliverance from evil, spiritual protection, spiritual deliverance. You know, we should pray that God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven. A lot of just wonderful things. We could take some time and just dissect this particular prayer and see what it teaches us. But this is an example of how to pray, of what to pray for. And then he goes on in verse 5, and he said unto them, which of you shall have a friend, and shall go unto him at midnight, and say unto him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. Any of you ever do that? You ever go to your friend at midnight to borrow bread? For a friend of mine, in his journey, is come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And it says, and he from within shall answer and say, trouble me not. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give you. Now, that's probably, you know, a pretty polite way of saying, why don't get out of here? Why don't you scram? You know, get the heck out of here. Don't you know what time it is? It's midnight. You're trying to borrow bread from me? What are you doing? But it says in verse 8, and I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. Now, I think sometimes people have read through this and read that word importunity as being the word opportunity. No, it's not the word opportunity. It's importunity, not a word that's used very often. But it means shameless asking. You know, people that sometimes just shamelessly would ask and then keep asking. And so he said, okay, here, you know, take my bread. Get out of here. Go away. Don't quit waking me up and my children. You know, here, have it. It's for his importunity. It was a shameless asking. You know, how he just asked shamelessly without any modesty, the man will rise and give him as many as he needeth. And I say unto you, verse 9, ask, and it shall be given you. This is a very familiar section of Scripture. Seek, and ye shall what? Find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. Now, the King James doesn't reflect accurately these three verbs that are listed here. Ask, seek, and knock. Because they could be rendered, should be rendered, keep on asking. Keep on seeking. Keep on knocking. And that's what we've been seeing. That men ought to continue in prayer and not to faint. That we should be faithful to prayer. That we should watch thereunto until the answer comes. As George Mueller said, once I'm convinced that it's the will of God, I just keep on praying and until the answer comes. And sometimes it might take a while. But it said, keep on asking and it shall be given you. Keep on seeking and ye shall find. Keep on knocking and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that keeps on asking receives. And he that keeps on seeking finds. And he that keeps on knocking, it shall be opened. You know, what great encouragement to continue in prayer, to keep on asking. You know, by the way, our prayers don't bug God, you know, like it might bug a unjust judge. You know, it's not like we're waking him up at midnight when he's got his, you know, in bed or something. You know, God never sleeps. You know, he loves it when we pray to him. He delights in our prayers. And then in verse 11, it says, if a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? You just read this in English, you say, of course not. But back in that culture, when it says, ask a bread, will he give him a stone? The bread that they ate back then was like what we call chapati bread or flat bread. And oftentimes what they would do is they would cook it on the fire, but they would have stones that they would flatten the bread with, and the stones would keep the bread warm. And over time, the stone, the flat stone, would start to look like the flat bread. And it certainly was a closer counterfeit than you get from this particular translation in English. The same thing when it says, ask for a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? When men would go out fishing, in their nets, sometimes they would get serpents, and they would look like the other fish. They'd have to get rid of the ones that were harmful. So there's a closer counterfeit here. And then it says, or if he shall ask an egg, shall he offer him a scorpion? And again, there were certain types of eggs that resembled very closely scorpions. If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children. You know, of course you wouldn't give your child a stone to munch on, or wouldn't give him a fish, or give him a serpent instead of a fish, or as it says here, wouldn't give him a scorpion instead of an egg. If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? Now, remember, this was written before Pentecost, and this is encouragement for them to keep on asking, keep on seeking, keep on knocking for the gift of Holy Spirit. Now, you know, thank God we don't have to do that because it's already been given unto us. The Holy Spirit has come. But we should continue to keep on seeking, keep on knocking, keep on asking for the will of God to be done in our lives, whatever it might be. Once you're convinced that it's a prayer that you should be praying to God, keep on praying it until God answers it, because he is faithful, and he will supply our every need. The Word of God encourages us to pray in everything, to pray for all saints, to pray for each other, pray for little things, pray for big things, you know, whatever it might be. And once you start praying, continue in prayer until the answers to prayers come, and they will come because our God is faithful to what he's promised. So Heavenly Father, thank you for the wonderful encouragement your word gives us to walk and talk with you and to pray and speak unto you at all times, Father. And Father, as we close this fellowship in prayer, we ask that you will continue to enlighten the eyes of our understanding, that you'll continue to help us understand your word, Father, and implement it. And Father, that doors of utterance will be open unto each of us so that we can speak and make known the gospel boldly. So Father, I pray for everybody that is online tonight and for everybody else that will hear this teaching in the future recorded, in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
God bless you.
God bless you all.
Bless you. Love you.